Invite you to open your Bibles this morning with me to John, the Gospel of John, and the 14th chapter to our verses that we've used, just two verses that are the foundation of what we're talking about in this particular study. Welcome, Holy Spirit. We're welcoming the Holy Spirit to come and be all that God wants Him to be in our lives. How many of you know that just because you're born again, just because you have received the Spirit of the Lord, doesn't necessarily mean that He is in control of what's going on in your life? You see, you and I still have a free will. We still have the opportunity to make choices on our own. And all too often we make the wrong choices, and we make choices based on human wisdom instead of godly wisdom. We do the wrong things. We make choices to serve ourselves rather than to glorify the Lord. And so we need to understand that the Holy Spirit has been given to us that we might know the will of God. He's been given to us that we might have the power to do the will of God if we will surrender to Him in our lives. That's the true meaning of the phrase in the New Testament where it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit simply means to be submitted to the Holy Spirit in such a way that He is in control of your life. We're born again and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, but that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is in control. It's when we surrender to the Holy Spirit, submit to the Holy Spirit. That's when we are truly filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit. I say another way. When you're born again, you get the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit gets you. Okay? And now He's in control. Now He's calling the shots. He's leading the course. He's taking us where He wants us to go. And so we began this study several weeks ago talking about the person and the nature of the Holy Spirit, His ministry in our lives. The whole point is for you and I to begin to develop a spiritual consciousness, a spiritual awareness of the presence of God with us. And as we said earlier on in this series, the truth of the matter is we don't always have that consciousness, that awareness of God with us. We live our own lives. We make our own decisions. We're so blessed, most of us don't feel like we need God really on a daily basis. We can get by on our own. Truth of the matter is we do need God in every circumstance and situation in life. And we really need to learn how to hear His voice so that when He speaks to us, we'll know that it's God. We'll know that it is indeed the Holy Spirit who is speaking to us. We want to develop a spiritual consciousness. We want to be awakened to the awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us at all times. And even further, we want to develop a sensitivity to the voice of the Holy Spirit so that when He speaks, we are able to discern His voices from all of the other voices that are speaking to us in our world today. How many of you understand, how many of you realize that there are a multitude of voices talking to you every day? Multitudes of voices. Your own voice is speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Your own will is speaking to you. Your fleshly nature is speaking to you. The enemy is speaking to you. Lots of people are speaking to you. Some of them good, some of them bad. We have to learn how to discern which ones are coming from the Lord and which ones are not. And so we need to discern the voice of the Spirit of God, and we need to develop a sensitivity to that voice to recognize when God is speaking to us. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit another helper, one just like Him. Jesus told His disciples, He said, did I read this yet? I didn't think so. I'll have to start all over again. See what you did? Look with me at John chapter 14 and verses 16 and 17. John 14, 16 and 17. Rewind that tape. Let's start again. I'm kidding. Oh, that's free. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. He's talking about the Holy Spirit here. Whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you, plural, speaking to His disciples, you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. He abides with you and will be in you. Jesus, again, He's preparing His disciples. He's about to leave the world. Okay? This is the night when he will be betrayed. He will be turned over to the government. The next day he's going to be crucified. He's leaving. He knows these things are going to happen, and he's preparing his disciples. And he says, and they're sorrowful. They're sad at the things that they're hearing from Jesus. And Jesus said, guys, John 14, verse 1, do not let your heart be sorrowful, sad. See, he knows what's happening. And he says, listen, I'm getting ready to go, but I'm going to send back another who is just like me. He'll be upon you. He'll live within you. And he will never, ever leave you or forsake you. He will be with you forever. I'm leaving. He's coming. And he's staying. And so we've talked about this for several weeks now, and the things that the Holy Spirit does in us, the fact that he comes and provides for us the strength of the Lord, the wisdom of God that we might know the will of the Lord, the comfort of God, the peace of the Lord, the hope, the joy of the Lord. All of these things are the fruit of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit works in our lives. As he strengthens us and builds us up and makes us like Jesus and uses us for the glory of the Heavenly Father. We did a contrast on the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God in our study. The wisdom of the world is the way that man does things. The wisdom of God is the way that God wants things done. The way of man leads to death. It leads to destruction. Proverbs tells us that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death and destruction. But on the other hand, the wisdom of the Lord leads to peace. It leads to blessing. It leads to the favor of the Lord. Sadly, because again, most of us are not keenly aware of the presence of the Spirit of God with us at all times every day, we tend to fall back on that default mode where we choose our own way of doing what we're going to do in human wisdom. And by the way, human wisdom is this. Human wisdom is when you get into trouble in human wisdom responds with cover-up, with make excuses, with justify what's happened, with blame somebody else for what has happened, deny what has happened, lie about what has happened. Do anything that you can to get yourself out of this situation. And often, you know, I realize a lot of times when we begin to operate in human wisdom and we begin to make those decisions and say and do those things, it looks like maybe for the moment we've gotten out of a bad situation. But I just want you to know, brother and sister, when we choose the path of human wisdom, we are always ultimately making things worse for ourselves. In the long run, it will catch up with you and things will be worse rather than better. It's just the way of life. It's the way of life. The perfect example of that is the greatest king in Israel's history, King David. King David was an awesome man of God who brought the nation of Israel 12 tribes that were loosely connected, and he brought them all together into one great federation and turned Israel into the greatest empire in David's day. But David had a weakness in his life. And the Bible tells us in 2 Samuel chapter 11, there was the day when Israel's army had gone out to war, and David as the king should have been with them. But instead, David stayed behind. And as the evening came, he spotted a woman on a house close by bathing. Lust in his heart caused him to send for that woman. They committed adultery. She became pregnant. David, this great man of God, instead of choosing God's way out of that situation, which I get it, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt in the moment. But it's ultimately going to bring peace and set you free. He chose not to go the way of God. He chose to go the way of the world. He chose to try to cover it up. He calls in the woman's husband, one of his good friends. He's out battling for Israel. He calls Uriah in from the front lines in the hopes that he'll spend a few days with his wife. And it'll look like the baby that she's carrying actually belongs to her husband. If he can pull this off, he can get away with his sins. The problem was that Uriah had too much integrity to do what David was looking for. Uriah came home, true, and he took a couple of days off, but he thought about all of his brothers out in the field still fighting for Israel. And he said, how can I enjoy the pleasures of my wife when my comrades in arms are out there laying down their lives for Israel? I'll not do such a thing. And so he went back to the battlefield. When he goes back to the battlefield, David realizes he's still not gotten away. He's not free yet. He's not clear yet. Rather than coming clean and admitting what's happened and what's going on, David decides to try something else. Cover-up hasn't worked yet. Here's what we'll do. We're going to have Uriah killed in battle. Then I can take the woman as my own wife, and it will appear that the baby that she's carrying is legit. Sure enough, Uriah goes back to battle. He dies in battle. David marries Bathsheba. But listen to this. This is a hard lesson, I think, for us to learn. But here's a truth that you and I need to hear today. The Bible tells us, I believe it's Numbers 23:32, it tells us this. No one gets away with their sins. Numbers says, your sins will find you out. And even though you may think nobody has seen what you have done, and maybe you think you've gotten away with it, God saw it. And God knows it. And because we have planted seeds of unrighteousness in our lives, we will reap the fruit of destruction and death in some way, shape, or form at some period in the future of our lives. God actually calls David out. He sends a prophet to him and he points out his sins. David finally breaks down and admits everything that's gone on. God didn't take David's kingdom away from him, but do you know that David's life was a wreck from that day forward? He had one son who, David of course had several wives and a number of children. He had one son who raped one of his daughters from another wife. He had another son who actually took the throne away from David for a season. And David's life was just chaos from that time because he chose the way of man instead of the way of God. You and I have the Holy Spirit. He dwells on the inside of us. He has been given to us to reveal the ways of God to us, the wisdom of God to us, so that we can always make the right choice if we are willing to listen to what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us. We can choose the way of God when the way of man is probably the way that we want to go. Most of us, when somebody does us wrong, when somebody hurts us, we want revenge. Not just justice. Justice is one thing. Revenge is something else altogether. We want our pound of flesh. We want to get even. We want payback. About a month ago, a very popular Christian and political conservative, I don't know what you call Charlie Kirk. They called him an activist, an influencer, an apologist, whatever you want to call him. About a month ago, an assassin took his life. 11 days after that, before a personal audience of tens of thousands of people and a worldwide media audience of millions of people, his wife stands on a platform, having lost her husband, now left to raise her children on her own. And she says on that platform to all who would hear,
that man, that young man, I forgive him. Because that's what Christ would do. And that's what Charlie would do. I tell you, that woman will find her peace through all of it from the Lord Jesus Christ, because she chose to go the way of the Lord and to do what God would want rather than what human nature would probably want her to do. We all go through difficult situations in life, circumstances and times when we need to know God's will. We need to be able to discern His voice as He speaks to us. Sometimes those things are tragic. Sometimes those circumstances are desperate. But there are times for all of us when we will absolutely need to know, what is God saying to me in this moment of my life? What is God's will? What does God want me to do in this time? So last Sunday we began just sharing with you some very simple, we'll call them tips, to discerning the voice of the Spirit of God. Because I promise you, He is speaking to us. In fact, the very tip that we shared with you last week, based on Proverbs chapter 20, where the verse, and I believe it's Proverbs 20 verse 12, tells us that the seeing eye and the hearing ear, God has made them both. And what the proverb is telling us there is that God wants us to see. God wants us to hear His voice. God wants us to know His will. It's similar to what Jesus would say a number of times in the Gospels and in the book of the Revelation. Let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. God wants us to hear. But if we're going to have ears to hear, brother and sister, it means that we have to not only have a sensitivity to the voice of the Spirit when He speaks, but we have to have, listen to this, we have to have a willingness to do whatever God is telling us to do. See, Erica Kirk could have denied the voice of the Lord when He said, "Forgive that man for killing your husband." She chose to listen to the voice of the Lord. But as I shared with you last week, when we deny the voice of the Lord and we disobey the voice of the Lord, it becomes harder and harder to hear the voice of the Lord, because our heart becomes desensitized. It becomes dull to the voice of God. And we hear Him less and less and less the more we deny Him in our lives. But when we're obedient to the voice of the Lord, it causes our heart to stay soft before God. And we're able to hear the voice of the Spirit of God more and more and more. But we have to be willing to whatever God says to us. We have to be willing to say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." Whatever it is God is asking us to do. And I just guarantee you, there are all kinds of things God is saying to you that you don't want to hear. Mostly has to do with repentance. Because let's just be, we're in church. This is where you're supposed to be honest, right? Let's be honest this morning. How many of you just be honest and admit, you know, I kind of like my sin? You got quiet on me. See, you thought you were going to... We do. In fact, the Bible actually talks about, listen, the passing pleasure of sin. Sin certainly does bring passing pleasure, but when the pleasure passes, destruction is close behind, and you can take that to the bank. Destruction comes. The wages of sin is death. Always has been, always will be. Always will be. And so we need to be willing to hear when God tells us to repent. Whether it's something that's going on in our real lives, whether it's just something going on in our fantasies, whether it's something that's going on in cyberspace. No matter what the arena is, when God says to repent, we need to be willing to repent and do what God is calling us to do. So this morning, I just want to share a couple of other things quickly with you, other things to do that can help us to discern the voice of the Spirit of the Lord. Because again, when we repent of sin, our heart becomes soft. Our heart becomes sensitive to the voice of God's Spirit. Makes it easier to hear God when He speaks to us and reveals His truth to us. Okay? So repentance, number one, a humble heart, a heart of humility that is willing to admit. Three of the hardest words you will ever say as a human being. Listen to them. Here they are. I was wrong. We have to be willing to say that. We have to have that heart where we're willing to admit to God, we were wrong and you were right. That heart of humility to stay soft-hearted before the Lord, to continue to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. This morning, again, just a couple of other things. Basically, I just want to share with you this morning the importance of practicing the disciplines of Christianity. These are the things that make it easier for us to hear and discern the voice of the Spirit of God. Listen to me. I'm talking about the basics. I'm talking about Bible study and reading. I'm talking about prayer, whether it's corporate prayer or private prayer. I'm talking about corporate worship, getting together like we've done this morning. To worship God. See, guys, listen. Bible study, prayer, going to church. We know that we're supposed to be doing these things. Most of us don't know why we're supposed to be doing these things. Most of us think we need to do these things in order to earn some favor with God. In order to buy some points with God. And so I just want to tell you this morning, all three of these things, Bible study, prayer, corporate worship, all three of these things are means by which we make our heart more sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God so that when He speaks, we're able to discern His voice. Look with me at some scripture quickly this morning. Look over at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's talk first of all about Bible study this morning. This is no doubt a familiar passage to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 16. It says, all Scripture is inspired by God, given by inspiration of God, and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All Scripture, it says there, is inspired by God. Peter confirms this in 2 Peter chapter 1, where Peter tells us over there, he says that the Scriptures are actually given to us because men of old have been moved on by the Spirit of God to write the prophetic utterances that they've put on the paper for us to read. Here's what I'm saying to you this morning, brother and sister. That book you've got in your lap, that Bible that you're looking at right there, we call it the Word of God. You know why? Because it is. That Bible, that's God's Word. Or let me say it this way. That Bible right there, that's God's voice to you and I. It's God's voice to us. He's speaking to us through the pages of Scripture. And let me just share this with you today. Listen. The Holy Spirit will not speak contrary to that book. What I'm saying to you is when we study the Word of God, we train ourselves to hear the voice of God, the Spirit of God, because we know the Holy Spirit won't speak contrary to that book right there, okay? He will only say the things that go along with what's been written in that book right there. For example,
In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible tells us there that we need one another in the body of Christ, that we are all members of the body of Christ, and we need to be joined to one another, tied in with one another, a part of one another's lives. Hebrews tells us the same thing in Hebrews 10 and 25, where it says, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together." Okay? We need to come together as the people of God. We need to grow together. We need to be built together as the people of God. We need to go to church. Just get to the bottom of it, all right? We need to go to church. That tells me, listen, the Holy Spirit will not say, "You don't need to go to church." The Holy Spirit won't say, "You don't need anybody else in your life. You can do it all by yourself. You can get it all on your own. You don't need anybody else." But do you have any idea how many people who profess Christ are at home today because they don't believe they need church? See, the Holy Spirit didn't tell them to stay at home, I guarantee you that, because He doesn't speak contrary to the Bible, to the Word of God, all right? When God says something is right, the Holy Spirit won't say, "No, that's wrong." When God says to give, the Holy Spirit won't say, "No, you need to hoard." When God says, put others first, the Holy Spirit won't say, "Look out for number one." When the Bible says when the Bible says something is immoral, the Holy Spirit won't say, "No, we have a new morality today." The Holy Spirit won't speak contrary to the Bible. So by reading and studying the Bible, we can learn how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. The second thing is prayer. And just for the sake of time, let me just be blunt and direct with you today. Most of us, where prayer is concerned, we're doing it wrong. Oh, you're so excited this morning, aren't you? We're doing prayer wrong. What do you mean, Pastor? Prayer, brother and sister, is more than just telling God all the stuff you want. And can we just be honest today? About the only time we pray is when we need God to do stuff for us. Hey, I'm just being honest today, okay? Let's be real. It's church time. Tom and Jerry, I like that. Just be real. Listen. About the only time we go to God is when we feel like we've got a need and we need God to do stuff. And so we go and say, "God, please do this, please do that, please," all these things we want God to do. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with asking God for stuff. God wants to do stuff. God can do some good stuff. But there's more to prayer than that. Prayer, brother and sister, prayer is communion with God. Prayer is fellowship with God. Prayer is not only you talking to God, but it's also you and me listening to God as He speaks back to us. It's why Psalm 46 and verse 10 says, God speaks there and He says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know. Quiet your mouth and open your ears and let God talk for a little while. God wants to speak to us. But we've got to quiet our hearts so that we can tune out all of those other voices so that we can discern the voice of God when He speaks to our heart. Be still and know that I am God. Remember what Jesus taught about prayer, Matthew chapter 6. He says, "Don't be like the hypocrites who like to stand on the street corner, pray loud prayers so that everybody else hears them pray and thinks, oh, how spiritual that person must be." Jesus said, a person who does that has got all they're going to get from God. No, Jesus said, when you pray, what did He say? Go into your prayer closet. Get alone with God. Be quiet in the presence of the Lord. Listen for God to speak to you. Prayer is a two-way. Communication is a two-way. Maybe here's the problem.
We don't realize communication is a two-way street. With your spouse. Thank you. With your neighbor. With your friends. Even with your children. Communication is all supposed to be not just talking, but it's also about listening. And prayer is just communion and communication with God. And that means we talk to God, yeah, but it also means we listen to God. And we get alone with God. And we give God the opportunity to speak to us. And we listen to discern what He's got to say. Bible study helps to tune us in to the voice of the Spirit of the Lord. Just being alone with God. Here's a problem that many of us have in our culture today. Many of us are scared to death of silence. How many of you, when you're at home by yourself, you got the TV on, so there's some noise going on when you're in your house there? A radio's playing, so there's some noise, there's something else going on there. We're terrified of silence. Got to get quiet, dear. Got to get quiet before the Lord. We got to wait on God. Because they that wait upon the Lord, He'll renew their strength. But you got to get quiet before the Lord. You got to wait on God. You got to just sit in His presence and let God minister to us. Yeah, we minister to Him in worship. Talk about that in a minute. But God wants to minister to us by His inward voice of the Holy Spirit. As He shows us His plan, His purpose, His will, and all that He has for us. Remember, Jesus tells us in John, I believe it's the 16th chapter, verse 26. When He, the Holy Spirit, comes, He will teach you all. He will remind you of everything I've taught you and show you things to come. The Holy Spirit wants to show you what God has planned for your life. We've got to get quiet and listen. So we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Third thing is worship. No, it's not. I'm not done with prayer yet. Let me show you why we need to be quiet in the presence of the Lord. I got an Old Testament passage to share with you. Just a couple of verses from 1 Kings chapter 19. If you want to read along with me, you can turn over there. Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 19. This is the season of Israel when she has departed from her walk with the Lord. And God has sent the prophet Elijah to the children of Israel in order to call them to repentance. Okay? So God has been doing some things in Elijah's life up to this point in 1 Corinthians chapter 19. We'll pick up about verse 9 in just a moment. But in addition to the things, in fact, because of the things God has been doing in Elijah's life, Elijah's life has now become threatened by an evil, wicked queen in Israel. He's fearful of his life. And so he's seeking God to find out what God wants to do in his life. And God will tell the prophet, he'll actually tell the prophet, you need to go find a quiet mountain where you and I can have communion together. Okay? You need to find a quiet spot where I can talk to you and you're out of the presence of that threat. You're able to hear my voice. The story is in 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 9. It says there, then Elijah came to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah says, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with a sword, and I alone am left. They seek my life to take it away. So God says to him, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. He said, you need to get away from here. You need to get out of these circumstances. You need to get to a place where you can quiet your mind and listen to what I'm going to tell you. Okay? And so it says in verse 11, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord was passing by. Now, I want you to watch this, and I want you to see where and how the voice of the Lord appears to Elijah, because that same voice is going to appear to us in the same way. It's going to manifest to us in the same way. Watch this. It says, "Behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire, a roaring fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing." Verse 13, "When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And God begins to speak to Elijah and tells Elijah what his plans are for him moving forward." But again, here's the whole point of that passage of Scripture. He had to get away in a quiet place where he could quiet his mind, tune his heart into God's, in order to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, which came to him in this particular translation in the form of the sound of a gentle blowing. A gentle blowing. The NIV translation says, "a gentle whisper." The King James Bible says, "in a still, small voice." And that, brothers and sisters, is the way that God speaks to us in our heart by the Holy Spirit. It's a still, small voice, and that's why we have to get alone with God. We have to get away from the circumstances. We have to get in a quiet place where we can calm ourselves, focus ourselves, tune into the voice of God, and let Him whisper into our heart. Isaiah 31 says, "You will hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" That word behind you, that gentle whisper that comes to your ear. And then worship, the last one, real quickly here. Worship helps us tune in to the voice of the Spirit of God. Did you know the Bible says in Psalm 22 that God inhabits the praises of His children Israel? Do you realize today that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are the true Israel of God? You are the spiritual Israel of God. And God will inhabit our praises. What that means is when we worship the Lord, the presence of God comes to be a part of that worship time. He comes to manifest Himself when we give praise to Him. His presence walks among us when we sincerely worship Him in spirit and in truth. Worship helps us to focus on the Lord, to draw near to the Lord, invite the presence of the Lord, and it prepares our heart to hear from the Lord. Do you understand, guys? That's why we spend the first 20, 25 minutes, whatever it is, on Sunday mornings, worshiping God, praising the Lord. The whole point of that 20, 30 minutes, whatever it is, to start the service, listen, that's not unnecessary and unimportant and insignificant pregame exercise that we're going through. No, it's not a warm-up for what's coming, for the real thing that happens later. No, it is the real thing. When we praise the Lord, when we enter into the praise of God, when we lay aside all the other junk of Monday through Saturday past, and we just focus our attention completely on the Lord, and we give Him the glory and the honor that He is worthy of, and we exalt His name and we praise Him and we enter into that with a true and sincere heart, worshiping as Jesus said, in spirit and in truth. We open our hearts, we prepare our hearts to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit when He speaks to you. I guarantee you, listen, I guarantee you, you will get more out of every service you go to. You will get more out of that service if you will give yourself to the worship and praise at the beginning of the service. Because in giving yourself to the worship and praise, you prepare yourself for everything else that God has for the rest of that service, you see. So praise and worship is a way of preparing our heart and making us more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And in the church, our dispensation, and in the age of the church, God has actually given us an even more significant way to plug in to the Holy Spirit and to be sensitive and train ourselves to hear His voice. The Bible talks about, Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he talks about worshiping in the Spirit, worshiping in other tongues. This to me is exactly the purpose of why God gives the church the gift of other tongues, so that we can worship God in such a way that our heart becomes sensitive to His heart, our spirit becomes sensitive to His heart, and we plug into what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do and wanting to say, and we can follow Him more closely because we're willing to practice the gifts that God gives us. And we're willing to worship Him in whatever way He leads us to. Worship prepares our heart to hear the voice of the Spirit of the Lord. Again, we talked about being obedient to the voice of the Spirit of the Lord. Disobedient makes our heart less likely to hear God. Obedience makes our heart soft and more likely. Through obedience to what God says, we train ourselves to hear the voice of the Spirit of the Lord and to become more sensitive to it. I got one more verse real quickly to share with you from the book of Colossians. Little book in your New Testament, real quickly. And I can just read it for you if you like. I don't mind. I get paid the same either way. Just joking. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. This is a verse of scripture that I have made a habit of my life to seek after and follow after, particularly when it comes to trying to discern the will of the Lord, discern His voice, what He's trying to say, wanting to do in my life, and these kinds of things. Notice it says in Colossians 3 and verse 15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. I think the Amplified Bible says something like, "Let the peace of Christ serve as an umpire in your heart. As you seek to discern the will of the Lord, let peace be the thing that helps you determine whether something is truly the will of the Lord for your life or not." In other words, if what you're hearing brings fear to your life, brings anxiety to your life, brings panic to your life, I can pretty much guarantee you that's not the Spirit of God. That's not the voice of God that you're hearing. The voice of God, the wisdom of God, James tells us in the book of James, the wisdom of God is first and foremost peaceable. It brings the peace of God, you see. So when we're hearing something, if it gets you all ramped up, if it gets you all disturbed in your heart, all fearful and anxious and on the verge of panic, brothers and sisters, I can guarantee you that's not God that's speaking those things to you. When God speaks, peace will ultimately come to your heart. One last verse, I'll quote it for you. It's in Isaiah. I don't know exactly where it's at. It's in the 20s, something like Isaiah 28:16 or something like that. God speaks through Isaiah and he says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone, a precious cornerstone. And he who believes in the cornerstone shall not," I like the King James says, "shall not make haste." Other translation says, "shall not be in a hurry." Other translations say, "He who trusts in the cornerstone will not be disturbed." That means, again, inwardly. won't feel. When you're trusting in the Lord, that trust doesn't produce anxiety and worry and fear and the sense of panic in your heart. Again, we make so many decisions, knee-jerk decisions based on human emotion and human wisdom and all of those kinds of things. And again, I can just almost guarantee you those decisions in the long run are going to prove to be the wrong decisions. So why we need to let peace rule in our heart and guard the decisions that we're making. Quick example, about a month and a half ago, guy comes through the neighborhood. He's wanting to put a seal coat on the driveway. Maybe you've seen guys in your neighborhood come through and want to coat your driveway for you. Mine's looking kind of ragged. Mine can use a good coat. So I'm looking at the driveway, and I'm looking at my driveway, and I'm wondering, is this guy the right guy for my driveway? And finally, I just say to him, what would you charge me to put a seal coat on my driveway? He looked at it real quick. He didn't measure it. He didn't do anything else. He just looked at it real quick. He said, I usually charge about $1,500 to do this work for you, but I'll do it if you'll do it. If you'll let me do it for you today, I'll do it for you today, right now, for $1,200. I'm going to save $300 in a second. And I had no peace whatsoever in my heart about that. I felt rushed. I felt pushed. I felt anxiety. You know, you're in a hurry. He who trusts need not be in a hurry. So I said to this guy, I said, I don't know about that. You got a card? I said, if you got a card, give me a card. I'm going to check with my guy. And if your price is good, I may call you back. So he got me a card. I went and called my guy, and my guy did the job for less than $800. If I had taken his great sale because I was pushed into it and rushed into something, I'd have lost $400. But those that trust need not be in a hurry. We just need to let peace prevail in our heart. God will guide us by that peace. That peace, brother and sister, is often the voice of the Spirit of God. Paul tells us God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound and disciplined mind. God speaks peace to us. And when we obey that peace, all is well. Let's pray together. Father, I bless you once again for the opportunity of sharing your word, what I believe is your word, with these precious people who have come to this church today. I thank you again for every one of them. I pray that over the course of this hour or so, Lord, something has been said, something has been done, something has been shared that will help every one of us walk more closely with you, believe in you in a greater way, love you in a deeper way. Thank you for your word, and thank you, Father, for speaking to us by your Spirit in this service this morning. Amen and amen. Praise God.